Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to St. Paul's words to the Philippians. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible lists compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience among the Christian virtues. Paul writes those words to the Colossians. Yet in many circles today, any one of these Christian virtues can be considered as a character flaw or a sign of weakness. Compassion, kindness, and humility are for the weak. Gentleness and patience are often seen as ignorance. To get ahead, we are told, you have to promote yourself to the exclusion of all others. Push aside anyone else who gets in your way. This text, though, says Jesus, in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant. How different is that than the way that we usually think? If we're honest with ourselves, we desire to be in the place of God. We have no desire to be a servant to God or to anyone else. That's exactly how the devil tempted Adam and Eve, saying, "You can be like God." And they listened to his words, and they ate, and they were deceived. The devil still whispers this lie into many ears today. Many still deceive themselves, thinking it's possible to be like God. Some even try to play the part. But God's kingdom is not about being first, or being worshipped, or lording it over anyone. It's certainly not about trying to be equal to God, which is simply not possible for a sinful human being. God's kingdom is about taking up your cross and following Jesus to death. His kingdom is about confessing yourself a sinner and receiving Jesus' forgiveness so that you might live. To put yourself ahead of God, to think yourself better than other people, this is not a mark of independence. It is not initiative, and it is not strength. It is certainly not the example that God sets. Instead, this is a sure sign of an idolatrous heart. When the apostle writes here to the Philippians, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus," he is referring specifically to Jesus' cross and death and resurrection from the dead to save sinners. And in these words, we're struck by two things. First, the sad fact is that our natural attitude and mind are not very Christ-like at all. We are self-serving by nature. What we should be in Christ Jesus is not what we are. Second, it's striking that what we do not have in ourselves by our sinful nature, God has given to us by faith in his Son. Namely, God has given to us the mind, the righteousness, and the humble attitude of Jesus. When you have Jesus by faith, you have all of his gifts, including his humility in mind, his love and compassion and servitude for others. As we have kept our eyes focused on Jesus throughout this Lenten season, we have seen and heard that he had to go to the cross, not because of anything he had done, but because of everything that we have done. He suffers the consequences for our sins, and he did it willingly because he loves us so much. He never complained of injustice or returned violence for violence. He turned the other cheek, gave them the other hand to be nailed to the cross. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. The clear and evident humility of Jesus was not weakness, but strength. And by his strength, you have been saved. We began this season of Lent being humbled by the truthful words, "Remember, O man, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." We were humbled by that embarrassing black mark upon the forehead, by that deep look inside of ourselves, knowing that God's words about our sinfulness and arrogance and unfaithfulness are most certainly true. We were humbled even by our very uneasy public confession of being a poor, miserable sinner. We were weak, embarrassed, and vulnerable. But we have not been left in that condition. Even the black mark of ashes on your forehead on Ash Wednesday pointed you and everyone who looked at you to your salvation, to the only place that offers hope, to the only one who died for you on the cross that you can live. Paul Gerhardt, the hymn writer of this sermon hymn, said it this way, "Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me. Oh, wondrous love, what have you done? The Father offers up his only Son, desiring our salvation. Oh, love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one into the grave who built the earth's foundation." Salvation from sin and eternal death is found only in this one, in the one who bore the cross not on his forehead, but on his bloody shoulders, from the only man who did not have any blackness in his heart or any sins that he had to confess, from the one who did not return to dust, but defeated death in the grave and rose victorious from the dead. Salvation is from the righteous one, who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey amid waving palm branches. Salvation is from the righteous one who carried his cross out of Jerusalem's gates to die. Salvation is from the one who has been given the name that is above every name, to which all flesh will one day bow, but who did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but instead humbled himself, made himself nothing for you. Water washed away that black smudge of ash from Ash Wednesday. But only water connected to God's word and his promise can wash away sin and save both children and adults. Only Jesus' baptism can create in you a clean heart, a new spirit, and a living faith. Only the merciful words of God's gospel can absolve you when you have confessed your sins. Only his words can declare you not guilty and actually set you free from sin and death. Any food can fill your belly, but only the food served at this altar, the very body and blood of Jesus, can feed and nourish your soul. Our Lord Jesus Christ went into Jerusalem, as the text says, righteous and having salvation, humbled and mounted on a donkey. The people welcomed their king on that day with great joy, but they didn't understand what kind of king he was to be. They didn't understand that his glory would be in his death, that he died on the cross under the entire weight of God's judgment in order to save sinners. They didn't understand that the curse that he had to bear in that shameful death was their curse. Many still don't understand or believe those things. But that doesn't change that now the power of that curse is broken. The miserable record of our sin, all our hurt and the shame of it, has been blotted out and covered over in Jesus' blood. He humbled himself and was born of a virgin, and he was made man. He traded places with us poor, miserable sinners. And God the Father glorified him by lifting him up on the cross for all the world to see, and then receiving him as a perfect life, a perfect payment for those who do not deserve his mercy or his love. Because he became nothing, because he was an obedient servant even unto death, and because you have been baptized into his name, into his death and resurrection, you are no longer a slave to your sinful nature, to the world or to the devil. They do not control or define you. For as Paul says, you share the mind of Christ. You are loved and forgiven. You are a child born of the Heavenly Father by His Holy Spirit to be salt and light and life in this dying world. When Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead, everyone will see His majesty, and His glory will fill the earth and the heavens. He will not be seated on a lowly donkey then, but riding on the clouds with the hosts of heaven in His train. The trumpets will sound, and every knee will bow at His holy name, whether they believe and trust in Him or not. Believing children will still sing for joy. Faith-filled adults will fall down and worship their King. The dead will be raised from their tombs. Those who trusted in Jesus, who have been killed and made alive in holy baptism, whose sins are forgiven in Jesus' blood, will go with Him into eternal glory. As Moses writes, the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants. On that day, we will also sing and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray. Lord, when your glory I shall see and taste your kingdom's pleasure, your blood my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before your throne, your righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me, and there in garments richly wrought, as your own bride shall we be brought to stand in joy beside you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.